Hello, everybody. This is our first episode of Behind the Ring featuring Sam and Kyle. I am Sam, and this is Kyle right here. Introduce yourself.
Hello, podcast world. This is Kyle, and welcome to our first episode of Behind the Ring. We hope you guys like it.
All right, so basically in this episode, we are going to be talking about what happened this past Monday night on Raw, the February 10th edition of Monday Night Raw. We're going to be talking about the WWE Network, the Elimination Chamber, and possibly what we think is going to happen at this year's WrestleMania. So, first we're going to talk about what happened on Monday Night Raw. So, when the show first opened, you know, you go through your whole intro, you see Jerry Lawler, JBL, and Michael Cole talking, and then Justin Roberts introduced the guest host, Betty White, who walks out with the Big Show, who is walking her out. She gets greeted, everybody starts a Betty White chant, and she said that she's going to kick some ass, which is her words, by the way, not mine, hers. And then she said that the Authority walks out to the ring, and Triple H says that there is some confusion, so she completely kicks her off the stage, and Triple H and Big Show have a stare down, a possible WrestleMania 30 match, maybe? I don't know. But Triple H said that Daniel Bryan is supposed to be considered the face of the WWE, but they might consider everyone in the Elimination Chamber match to be the face, and then Randy Orton cuts them off and says that he wants to apologize. He said that it's an apology for Triple H and Stephanie, and he knows if he's going to get what he wants, he has to make them happy, and he has to bring back the Viper, and he is going to start by beating John Cena tonight. And Orton said this is from the heart, no BS to it, it's right from the heart. So, Kyle, what do you think of the opening segment of Raw with Betty White, The Authority, Randy Orton, Big Show? What do you think of it?
Well, honestly, I thought it was pretty entertaining, but honestly, I'm getting so sick of every week Triple H and or Randy Orton will come out first, you know, open up Raw and start running their mouth about BS. Like, no one wants to see this every single week. Like, it gets kind of boring, you know, after a while.
Yeah, I do agree with you there.
And I just think for once on Raw, it should open up with someone else instead of always Triple H.
Yeah.
Just makes me want to turn off the TV and wait, like, 10 minutes until his segment's over. Like, that's how badly I get bored of it.
Yeah. All right. The next match is Rey Mysterio and the Brotherhood, which is Cody Rhodes and Goldust, versus the strange, very, very strange Wyatt family. So, that was a really good match. There was a bunch of high-flying moves in there with Rey, and Cody did some high-flying stuff. It was a really good match, and I'm really excited to see the Wyatt family and the Shield at Elimination Chamber, but this match was really, really good. Basically, this was a match to see how good the Wyatt family was, and the way they won the match was really good, because Rey Mysterio was going to set up the 619.
And Bray caught him in that very sick, amazing Sister Abigail.
Yes.
Like, I could not believe it.
That was the best Sister Abigail I've ever seen. Bray Wyatt caught Rey Mysterio. He caught him right on the ropes, and basically in all one motion, is when he got Sister Abigail. He basically caught Rey, flew him over, gave him the Sister Abigail, then that was the end of that match. The winner was the Wyatt family, and I like the Wyatts. I think Bray Wyatt has a great gimmick. Luke Harper is good at playing. I think all of them are really good at playing strange, creepy guys from the woods who are poor and dress up weird and talks about buzzers and stuff like that. So I think that was a really great match. Definitely a good match to open up Raw. So what do you think of that match, Kyle?
Yes. That was a very great match, like you said. A lot of good high-flying spots and very good techniques the Wyatts had in that match. You know, I thought it was one of the best tag team matches the Wyatts have been in.
I do agree. And the next match was Santino Marella with Emma, NXT Diva Emma, versus Fandango with his dancer Summer Rae. And
breathe in the A's, man.
Oh, I need to breathe in the A's. It's not Fandango.
Go.
He said it right. It's Fandango. How was that? Was that good?
Yes.
I thought that was pretty good. So Fandango did defeat Santino Marella, but this was a comedy match. I love Santino Marella's entrance. I think it's so funny how he comes up, he does the cobra, he does his jog around the ring. This time he came out with NXT Diva Emma, because last week on Raw, they beat Fandango and Summer Rae in a dance contest. But so since Emma is going to be, I guess, Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the dance-offs. Unless it's the Great Khali, then it's funny. But Emma came out, and I'm guessing Emma's just now going to be the valet of Santino Marella or something like that, because I haven't really seen her NXT work. I've heard she was really good at fighting in the ring. I heard she was really, really tough. But it just looks like WWE wants to use her as the valet of Santino right now, and hopefully she gets a match in the future. I just have a feeling in the future she's going to be feuding with Summer Rae. Because think about it, I mean, Fandango has been with Summer Rae since WrestleMania, and she hasn't really had a lot of matches in WWE itself. She's been in a couple, but not a lot. But you know, Fandango won, obviously, with his diving leg drop for the win. So, Kyle, what do you think of that match?
It was alright. It was kind of boring, but it was a fast match. It wasn't really not too many, you know, good moments in there. But I just love how Fandango does his leg drop off the top rope. I think that's one of the best leg drops there is, besides the Hardy Boys leg drop.
Yeah, I agree. And before the Santino match, I completely passed over this segment sorry about that, guys. Renee Young, after the Wyatt family match, Renee Young was backstage with The Shield. We again saw more tension with The Shield. It was Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Reigns. And before the segment started, after the Wyatt match, they showed a clip of Roman Reigns eliminating the most guys ever in a Royal Rumble match. Then they got on with the segment, and 13 men, exactly. And Roman Reigns admires the Royal Rumble highlight clip of himself before they talk about the Wyatts. Rollins said that the Wyatts had some harsh words for him, but they're not going to be worried too much, and they're going to let their actions speak. Renee then mentions that Ambrose hasn't defended his title in a while. So Ambrose says it takes paperwork or he just can't pull contenders out of thin air. Reigns calls his bluff and asks him what kind of champion does he want to be. So Ambrose gets extremely mad and says he will issue an open challenge tonight to prove himself worthy of being the United States Championship. And we're going to get to that match in a bit, but that match was a pretty good match. I'm not going to tell you who it is till we get there, but what do you think of the segment with The Shield?
I liked the little tension The Shield has with each other. You know, I think it looks like they're going to possibly maybe a triple threat match at WrestleMania for Dean Ambrose's United States Champion, or you know, maybe at the Elimination Chamber during their tag team match with the Wyatt's family, maybe they may break up then, you know. Well, I think soon they're going to some way or someday, somehow, they're going to just break up. Each man is going to go on their own way, their own championship runs and all. And it may suck, but that's just how it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And then after the Santino Marella match, I'm trying to go in order. I completely forgot, so the Shields segment kind of cut me off because I had to go back. But I'm trying to not do that. So here we go. And the next segment was Byron Saxton actually went backstage to do a little interview segment. And Byron Saxton, if you guys watch NXT, is the ring announcer for NXT. So it looks like he's going to be one of the backstage announcers now. I guess they're just testing him out or whatever. So Byron Saxton was backstage with the Celtic Warrior Sheamus, and he asks for Sheamus's thoughts tonight about teaming with Christian, since both men will be in the Elimination Chamber. Sheamus says that Christian is a good friend, but better enemy, and he has no problem teaming with him tonight. He jokes about having a beer with Christian after the match, then says that's the last joke he'd tell, because the Elimination Chamber is nothing to laugh about. He says that this is the last chance he'll have to main event WrestleMania, and he will make sure that that will happen, and he doesn't care who he has to go through to do it. So, what do you think about that segment?
It was just a regular backstage interview. It wasn't really anything special about it, but I will say that since Sheamus returned, I am hoping he will turn back heel, because when he debuted back in 2009-2010, he was a heel for a while, and he was on Raw back when SmackDown and Raw were their own brands and stuff. And he had a good championship run, you know, some good feuds with John Morrison, and I think R-Truth he had a feud with. So I just hope, you know, sometime down this run, you know, he gets a heel turn, and possibly then win the World Heavyweight Championship and go from there. Cause as a face, I just don't find Sheamus that interesting. He gets kind of boring a lot, and I think when a face is boring, that's when they should think about, you know, making him more interesting.
I do agree there. And then after that backstage segment with Sheamus, went to a commercial break. Then straight up, it was Sheamus and Christian versus the Real Americans. So, we both thought that this was the best match of the night, because both teams really put it out there, and they really connected with each other. There was no, like, they didn't mess up or anything. Like, they looked like they were really into it, which is what you want to see. So, this was a great match. Christian got some great tags in. He tried to go for the kill switch. And Cesaro runs in. He uppercuts people. Antonio.
Crowd reactions.
Yeah, Antonio did get a really good pop in the match. People actually booed Sheamus for a little bit and started cheering Antonio, and Antonio got a Cesaro swing, only did 10, not as much as the 28 he had in the Royal Rumble match, but he did get 10, which is very impressive. I probably couldn't even do one. But anyway,
the crowd loved it. Like, you could tell, as soon as he picked up his legs, everyone just got up and started cheering for it. Like, they knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. Everyone did know exactly what was going to happen, and Sheamus and Christian did win, and Jack Swagger, the way
Sheamus did the brown kick on Jack Swagger and pinned him.
Yep, Sheamus. Well, Jack Swagger tried to go for the Patriot Lock, But Christian breaks it up before Sheamus tapped. And then Sheamus bro kicks Swagger for the win. Then your winners was Sheamus and Christian. Any words to say about that match?
I'm kind of glad I didn't have Cesaro lose or get pinned by Sheamus. Because if they did that, then that would have made him look, you know, like, kind of weak and, like, as if, like, they, well, it's kind of hard to explain, but I'm just kind of glad they had Swagger get pinned on, because I think that Swagger isn't the best out of the real Americans. I think Cesaro has a lot of potential in him to be the next world champion. So I'm hoping at the pay-per-view, you know, they'll let him get a championship run by, you know, beating Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and Christian and John Cena.
I agree with you 100% there, and then after that match, John Cena was backstage with Renee Young talking about his match against the Viper, Randy Orton, and that was a pretty good segment. You know, I really did enjoy that segment, and you know, John Cena has great mic skills in my opinion. And he said that Randy Orton and himself have been dominant in the past, but that the fans wanted change. He said there is plenty of change going on, and they launched the WWE Network, and they look toward the future with all new superstars. Cena says he will close his rivalry with Orton tonight with a statement, and if anyone thinks they can step up, they'll have to go through him first. And he mentioned names like the Wyatt family, The Shield, Antonio Cesaro, and Daniel Bryan. So, what do you think of that segment?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember that segment at all. I think I kind of, like, dozed off on it.
Because it's a Cena segment.
Cena puts me to sleep sometimes, and I just can't stand Cena. So I think, like, once I heard him start talking, you know, I was just started dozing off, and, yeah.
Like, I guess agree with that a little bit. But whenever, even if you love Cena or you hate him, whenever you watch a Cena match, your eyes are always glued onto this TV screen because you don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know if Cena's gonna kick out at two like he always does.
What's gonna happen?
You always know what's gonna happen in a Cena match.
Do his five elbow blocks. Where they are, you know, do the five knuckle shuffle, hit it, get up, get to AA, get to 1, 2, 3. It happens in every single match. Every single
that is very true. It's very unlikely when one of Cena's opponents is going to block the five knuckle shuffle. But after that segment was Dolph Ziggler versus Alberto Del Rio. And that was, I thought, a really good match. I didn't think Ziggler would win, but he did. And the way Ziggler won was Alberto Del Rio counters the zigzag. He goes for a backstabber, but Dolph blocks the backstabber. And then he hits the Famouser before he goes for the Famouser, but Alberto Del Rio jumps down on his arm and super kicks him for the win. So actually, Alberto Del Rio actually won that match, but I'm looking at the results right now, and this guy, I think, kind of, like, messed it up because it said Dolph Ziggler won, but then I remembered Alberto won, so, yeah, Alberto Del Rio won this match, and after the match, Del Rio jumped back in the ring, he put Dolph in the cross arm breaker, but then the Animal Batista.
He comes running down to the ring and some new ring gear. Him and Del Rio starts brawling. He takes Alberto out of the ring, removes these the announce table was top, and just Batista bouncing through it.
I thought that was really awesome, by the way.
Just like that.
Finally, it wasn't the Spanish announce table that got destroyed. It was actually the regular announce table. But I thought that was great what Batista did. I used my epic voice. I had to say the animal Batista in my epic voice. And he speared Del Rio out of the ring. He threw him into the steps, tear the broadcast table apart, then kicks Del Rio and whips him into the barricade before powerbombing him through the table. Did the Batista bomb through the table. Batista threatened to hit him with the monitor, but he ends up walking away. Triple H finds him backstage and tells him he has to keep calm and tone it down. He says he likes having him back, but he's doing what's best for business, and I'm so sick of hearing that, but he's saying it's what's best for business. And Batista needs to help him out. Batista said Alberto deserved it. So Triple H books at the Elimination Chamber Alberto Del Rio versus Batista. And Batista says he thinks things have changed and then walks away. Well, I think we already know exactly who's going to win. Batista probably going to win because they're not going to have Alberto Del Rio win because Batista's the 2014 Royal Rumble winner, so they're not going to have Alberto win.
You never know.
That is true. We never know what can happen. And next is a segment between the New Age Outlaws are shown having some tea with Betty White. They talk about how good of a job they're doing of protecting her tonight, and there have been rumors of the Divas pulling a prank on her. Road Dogg pours her some tea and pours a foreign substance in it while Billy shows off his tag title. Then Betty goes to drink it but asks for some lemons. The Outlaws say they'll get it. Then Betty, knowing what they did, switches the teacups on them as we go to break. So, what do you think of that little segment, that little comedy segment between Betty and the New Age Outlaws?
It was pretty pointless that she just pranked them. And then later on in the show, we find out what happened, but we're going to save that for later. But I think it was pretty pointless. Like, I don't think there was any reason why they would have Betty White, you know, just prank them like that. Like, I don't see what was so, like, why, what that had to do with the show.
Yeah, I agree. And, then we go to commercial break, and the next match is the Usos versus Rybacksel, consisting of Rybacks and Curtis Axel and the New Age Outlaws on commentary. If you noticed what happened, Billy Gunn starts coughing, which is the substance Betty White switched with the Cubs, and the Usos do win, and you can tell Billy Gunn is really sick about the last segment that happened. The way the Usos won is that Ryback breaks up something. It says Ryback breaks it up, but Jimmy sends him to the ring post. I think Ryback broke up a tag or something, but then Jimmy sends him to the ring post. Then Jay completely splashes Ryback on the floor, which was amazing, because as Jay was gonna go splash Ryback on the floor, in midair he tags Jimmy, and then Jimmy hits a top rope splash, the Samoan splash, for the win. Then the winners are the Usos. So what do you think of that? And before I ask you that, at the end, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg were showing off their titles. And then Billy Gunn starts running to the back, holding his backside because he had to go to the bathroom really bad about what happened with the tea incident with Betty White. And I thought that made the crowd laugh. I heard the crowd laughing about that. So what'd you think of that match and the little comedy at the end?
The match was good. Ryback rules, man. I think they need to start pushing Ryback a little more. You know, I don't know what he did. I think he did something in the past to make him lose his push. but I think Ryback needs to stop jobbing, stop being in the mid-card, and rise up to the main event levels like he was last year in 2013, and when he was a beast in 2012 when he debuted.
I just have a...
The comedy sketch they had when Billy Gunn, yeah, when he walked out holding his butt, like, I don't know if he had to go to the bathroom, you know, that was pretty funny, you know, maybe laugh a little bit, but, like, I'm guessing her tea wasn't good, you know, that is some good advice, never drink tea from Betty White.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a really, really good match, and I agree with you. I think Ryback was more dominant when he was a face, because ever since he turned heel, he really had nothing going for him. I mean, sure, he had a few good matches with Cena, but he never had a good championship run, because when he was a face back in Hell in a Cell 2012, he fought CM Punk in a Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Championship, which was his last WWE Championship match ever. So we want Ryback to go back to a face because he's more dominant as a face. I would never say that, really. I would say people...
Because he fought John Cena in 2013 a few times for the championship.
Yeah, that is true. He did go against Cena for the championship. I just thought he got a bigger push in 2012 because now he's just a jobber with Curtis Axel in the mid cards. So let's get on to the next match. The next match was the United States Championship Open Challenge match. Dean Ambrose versus his open challenge was the returning Mark Henry. So Ambrose comes out waiting for his open challenge. Then you hear Mark Henry's theme. Henry comes out laughing. And then Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins start laughing at Dean because that's who he has to face, which I thought was pretty funny. And the winner by disqualification was Mark Henry. So the way he got disqualified was Henry power slammed him. He blocks a headlock driver by Ambrose. He then hits the world's strongest slam, was about to win, but then Rollins breaks it up, causes a disqualification. And you know, by disqualification, the winner who wins by disqualification never gets the title, which I think is kind of pointless in my opinion, but okay. And Rollins and Reigns try to attack, but Henry throws them outside. Then Henry goes after Rollins, but Reigns spears him. Then they try leaving through the crowd. The Wyatts cut them off and wait on the ramp, so the Shield re-enter the ringside area to wait for the action. Reigns is the first to get on the apron, then Rollins and Ambrose joins him, followed by all of the Wyatts, and Reigns dares them to get in the ring. Bray ducks under the ropes, but ends up leaving. Then Rowan and Harper follow him, and he smirks as the crowd boos the Wyatts. So what did you think of that match?
The match with Mike Henry and Dean Ambrose, I wasn't so into it. It was an alright match. I just thought Dean Ambrose should have had a better opponent than Mark Henry. You know, I thought maybe they would have Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns or maybe Zack Ryder or someone instead come out and face Dean Ambrose and lose. But, and with the Wyatts and the Shield little tension segment, I thought that was amazing. You know, I loved it. The crowd loved it. You know, this match, everyone wants it. And it will bring in a lot of for Vince McMahon. And it sure will be one hell of a good match to see at the Elimination Chamber.
I 100% agree with you. Then the next match was a little Divas action. It was Cameron and the Bella Twins versus AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, and Oksana. The reason why Naomi wasn't there is because last week, I think it was Main Event or Raw or something, one of those two, Oksana gave a knee to Naomi, causing her an eye injury, and she had to get eye surgery. So let's hope she gets back soon, but let's talk about this match. The winners were Cameron and the Bella Twins, and Cameron pinned Oksana by doing a dropkick and hits a really good DDT for the win. So what did you think of that Divas match?
It was, it wasn't as good as last week's Divas matches. No, I think, no, 1 week there'd be a good Divas match, and the next week it wouldn't be so good, and the next week it'd be good, and the next week it would be horrible. You know, I think they need to, like, do some more, like, have more than one Divas match, or make the Divas matches, like, more entertaining. Like, instead of having a tag team or a singles match, they should have, like, a triple threat match or a best 2 out of 3 falls Divas match or something like that. Like, give them some more ring time and more match choices. So, which is, I think, is why some fans hate the Divas matches, because they're the same boring type each week.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. Then after that match, Kane comes out to the ring and says he was placed on leave earlier and he does accept the punishment, but the authority had nothing to do with this. He said the authority advised him to vacate the area. Then Daniel Bryan cuts him off and rushes to the ring, meeting Kane with some strikes. Bryan hits him a few times before Kane kicks him. Then he goes for a choke slam, but Bryan reversed it and throws him outside of the ring. Bryan then hit a suicide dive and drop kicks him into the crowd. Then Bryan starts a massive yes chant, Bryan starts a massive yes chant, continuing the yes movement, hashtag yes movement, as Kane retreats through the audience. So, in my opinion, I think that's going to be a possible match at WrestleMania. Maybe the Elimination Chamber if they announce it, maybe next week, but I think it's going to be a good WrestleMania match, in my opinion. If Daniel Bryan loses the Elimination... Daniel Bryan can't fight Kane because he's in the match, but if Daniel Bryan loses the Elimination Chamber match, I have a feeling he might go against either Triple H or Kane. It's very possible. So what do you think?
I think at WrestleMania they're going to have Daniel Bryan versus Kane. No, I just don't see it happening at Elimination Chamber. I think maybe at WrestleMania they'll have like a no DQ match or a match with a stipulation to it, instead of it being just a normal match, because with Dan Bryan and Kane, you know, back when they were a tag team, Team Hell No, and they were the tag team champion, and that was, like, I enjoyed that when they were a team. So just them competing in a singles match, it wouldn't be good, you know, but maybe if it was like a last man standing match, you know, something extreme or something good. You know, I think that's what fans would want to see between them two, since they had a lot of good history together in the past. If you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get you. And then the main event comes up, which is John Cena versus Randy Orton, just like we said earlier, any typical Cena match. The winner is John Cena, and with an AA. I have a feeling that Randy Orton is going to lose every match he's in leading up to the Elimination Chamber, just to see what his opponents can do, because last week he lost to Bryan, now he lost to Cena. So we'll see who his next opponent is on SmackDown. But the way Cena won was Orton tries to RKO Cena, but Cena reverses it and shoves him back to the ring ropes, and he hits a standing leg drop before connecting with the Attitude Adjustment for the win. If only Cena did that during a championship match at TLC, then Cena would be champion right now, but he did not. So this is leading up to this Elimination Chamber match.
Care less if either one of them are champion.
Yeah, I really couldn't care either. I mean, they both had good runs, but now it's time for someone new to be champion. And if Randy Orton or Cena win at the Chamber match, I'm just going to know that WWE doesn't care about anyone else besides those two, because they don't deserve to be champion anymore. They had good runs. In the future, they'll deserve it, but now give it to someone else who actually deserves it. So what do you think about the main event of that night?
That I was very into that match, I will say, even though I hate all John Cena matches, that was one good match that I enjoyed. He gave Renier a good ass whooping, you know. Renier looked kind of weak in that match, which I think they're going to make Renier look weak in all his matches up to the pay-per-view, which I'm not saying what happened, but which will consider that Renier could walk out still champion, which I don't think should happen, because no one wants Renier as champion anymore. When he first won the championship at what pay-per-view was it? Last year's other champions, I think it was. When it was John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, and Triple H Pedigree is Daniel Bryan, and Randy Orton comes out, catches in his Money in the Bank. That was good.
That was at SummerSlam.
One or two. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it was. Like, the first month or two when he was champion, and like the first few championship matches he had with Daniel Bryan at Night of Champions, Battleground, Hell in a Cell. You know, those matches he had were good. I think after that, and then when he started facing Cena, I think it just got boring seeing him as champion and always defending it on a pay-per-view. Like, I just hope that it gets taken away from him this next Sunday at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I completely agree. So that was the results for that night's Raw. We're probably not going to get into WrestleMania right now. That'll be in the next episode. But we will get into the WWE Network. And this isn't going to be that long or anything. But the WWE Network is going to launch in 2 weeks after the February 24th edition of Monday Night Raw. So let's talk about that episode real fast. Three past wrestlers are going to be returning that Raw. One of them is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, is going to be returning for that episode. Then the Phenom, the Undertaker, is going to be returning, probably to scout out his WrestleMania opponent. Then the Immortal One, Hulk Hogan, is going to be returning after, I think the last time we saw Hogan in WWE was 2006, I think, when he had a feud with Randy Orton. So, I can't wait for that edition of Raw. That's going to be really good. Maybe, I really don't know what's going to happen. I have a feeling Undertaker is going to probably try and scout Brock Lesnar for a fight. Hulk Hogan might be the host of WrestleMania. I mean, you really don't know what's going to happen. But, then after that premiere episode of Raw, the WWE Network launches at, I think, 11:06 p.m., and that's going to be great. I'm already going to get my subscription early that morning. I'm going to get it, and You get every single pay-per-view for no extra cost, and the cost is $10 a month with a 6-month commitment. So, basically, you get every pay-per-view with no extra cost. You get every single Raw, SmackDown, ECW, NXT, every single one of them. From Raw episode number 1 to Raw episode 1000, I guess we're in 1070-something, I don't really know. But you get every single SmackDown, every single pay-per-view that happened in the past, and they are going to show some footage with Chris Benoit, but I read that there's going to be an advise warning before showing each Chris Benoit match or clip or segment or whatever he's going to be in. And I'm excited for the network. And the first pay-per-view they're going to be showing for free is WrestleMania 30. That's going to happen in the New Orleans Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And announced in a Triple H interview, they are also going to be showing the WWE Hall of Fame 2014 ceremony that Saturday before WrestleMania. So, on the network, that's going to be good. I'm going to watch it on the network just so I have some use for the network. And, the three, participants, the three people who are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame so far is the Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake Roberts, and, who was just announced on Monday Night Raw, Lita. So, what do you think of, the network and the Hall of Fame and everything, Kyle?
Well, excuse me, the network, you know, I'm really excited for that. It is something that every wrestling fan should get. You know, you get to relive the Attitude Era, the Golden Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, the, you know, some of your favorite memories from the PG era. You know, you can watch anything. You can watch some old pay-per-views, like you mentioned, and some old episodes of Raw and SmackDown, as well as some ECW episodes and pay-per-views, and World Championship Wrestling WCW matches and pay-per-views, so, which I think is pretty cool. As well as their own little reality shows, Total Divas, Legends House, Countdown, you know, things like that. Raw and SmackDown pre and post show they're going to be doing an hour before and after the show, which I think is going to be awesome. I heard that on the past few Raws and SmackDown, they've been testing for a panel for the network, so, you know, I think it's going to turn out pretty good.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the Raw and SmackDown post and pre-shows. Basically, what that is what you see before the cameras go on air, and what happens after Monday Night Raw comes to a close, because they have dark matches, which will no longer be dark matches, because if you have a subscription to the WWE Network, you can see what all the action happens after Raw and before Raw. Very excited for the network. You got Legends House and everything. Now we're going to talk about Quick Elimination Chamber stuff. We're running out of time, but Quick Elimination Chamber stuff. The matches we're going to do is the Elimination Chamber match between Sheamus. See if I can remember them. Sheamus, Christian, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Cesaro. So, yes, he's no longer called Antonio Cesaro, just Cesaro, and Big E Langston is no longer called Big E Langston, just Big E. So they're doing name changes now, which is kind of pointless, but, you know, oh well, whatever floats their boat, right? So, what do you think about that Elimination Chamber match?
I think it should be excellent, you know, seeing Daniel Bryan in there for his second or third year in a row, I believe it is. Because I think last year he was in the EC match, and the year before that, Daniel Bryan won one EC match, which was in 2011, I believe it was. Sheamus has won 0.
I think it was 2012.
2012, 2011, it was one of those years. My prediction will be either Daniel Bryan getting the win, or Cesaro getting the win. You know, I really hope Cesaro gets the win so he can have his first championship run. I think he will be a really good champion, in my opinion.
I 100% agree with you. I hope Daniel Bryan wins or Cesaro. I think one of those two will win, so I guess we'll find out. And then the last match we're going to talk about for today's episode is the Animal Batista versus Alberto Del Rio. And that match was just announced Monday's Raw. I just said it earlier. Like I said, I think Batista is going to win because he is next in line for a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania against whoever the EC match winner will be. So there's no way they're going to make him lose. I have a feeling he's going to win because I just have a feeling he's not going to, he's going to beat Del Rio. Del Rio won't be able to beat him. So what do you think, Kyle?
Batista could win, or they could have Alberto win, because even though Batista is the number one contender, back when Robin Dan was in here part-time, and he lost to Alberto Del Rio a few times, even though he was still a contender, so I think maybe Batista could lose, and so that way, he can, like, start working on getting better and, you know, setting his goal to defeat Randy Orton, which I hope it's not Randy Orton who's champion. Like I said, I hope it could be Batista versus Daniel Bryan or Batista versus Cesaro. Batista and Cesaro, or someone else besides Cena and Orton, but that's just what I think.
I 100% agree with you. Now, before we go, I want to mention my favorite, one of my favorites besides, you know, WWE is obviously, I think, everyone's top favorite, but my favorite indie wrestling company would be the Monster Factory. We're going to start doing podcasts about what happens when we go to the Monster Factory. It is very, very great. All the wrestlers are friendly. I'm friends with most of them on Facebook. Same with Kyle. The referee is awesome. Steve Chaz, definitely the man. You got Tommy Macklin, Mark Cruz, Mike Spanos. Larry Sharp is the owner. Danny Cage is one of the owners. And Danny Cage is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's really, really down to earth, really cool. And so you guys check out the Monster Factory if you want something to do on Saturday night. Tickets are only $10, $10 to $12. Sometimes they're more than that, but usually they're about $12. And you can meet all the wrestlers before, or you can meet all the wrestlers during intermission and all that. So also, Ricky Rocks, one of the nicest guys ever. He's really cool. And we have, I can't forget to mention my favorite tag team, the Forgotten Ones, which has Mark Cruz, Grey Wolf, Mike Reed, and Ryan Rush is his name. So you guys should check them out. They're really cool. So Kyle's going to say some few words, and then we're going to just head off, and we're going to do another episode probably tomorrow or something like that. So what do you think, Kyle? How's the Monster Factory?
So Monster Factory is one of the best indie companies there is. They train a lot of, well, first they train you to be a pro wrestler, and some of the big names they've trained have been Sheamus, Big Show, Big Bam, what's his name?
Bam Bam Bigelow?
yeah, Bannon. Bigelow.
The Big Show?
You know, they've trained... Yeah, I said Big Show and Sheamus.
Oh, okay.
So they've trained a lot of top superstars who were in WWE. And their matches, they have 5-star matches, you know. All their matches are very good.
He also trained a wrestler named Goldberg, if you guys remember. Goldberg was a parody of Goldberg back during the Attitude Era. His name was Goldberg, so I thought he was a good character, and that was pretty cool. So, thank you guys for watching our first episode of Behind the Ring. This will be uploaded on iTunes within a couple of hours, maybe days, I don't know. But you guys should check it out, free of cost. You guys won't be able to pay anything to listen. I hope you guys listen to it. And if you guys love wrestling, Behind the Ring is definitely a great podcast for you guys. So I hope you guys listen to it. Thank you for watching. This has been a 51-minute podcast. I didn't think it'd be that long, but it is. So, almost an hour long. If you guys are on a very long trip and you want to listen to a podcast, you can download ours, free. No, nothing to it. And, thank you guys for watching. This has been Sam and Kyle. We did hope you enjoy. Thank you for watching. And we're going to send you guys to Kyle to sign us off. Here we go. He doesn't know what to say. We basically, have nothing else to say. So thank you guys. I'll sign us off. Thank you guys for watching. Sam and Kyle, make sure you download our podcast, and we will see you in the next podcast. Thank you guys for watching.